We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
It's Tuesday somewhere, so you know what that means. It's Taco Tuesday!
Houston. Let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
I love Houston. I love the stadium. I love the fans. I just love the atmosphere.
Sports Radio 610.
All right, 2 hours from now, Tony Busby live downtown addressing the Deshaun Watson situation. Do not know what Mr. Busby's going to say. But I do not anticipate him saying nothing. I anticipate there to be some news, some developments in the Deshaun Watson situation that is just unfolding in front of our very eyes. Most recently yesterday, team that we believed would be the biggest aggressor, J-Lo, when it comes to pursuing Deshaun Watson and maybe making a trade for Deshaun Watson, the Carolina Panthers, have bailed on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. They trade with the Jets for Sam Darnold, second, fourth next year, sixth round pick this year. So one less team interested in Deshaun Watson, which I think matters. I don't know why they bailed. Maybe 22 lawsuits was too much for him.
Yeah, that might be one reason.
Maybe the police being contacted was the non-starter our breaking point. But regardless, as we look at the Deshaun Watson situation and we wonder to ourselves what's going to be the next step in the legal process, we're going to get a taste of that at noon. And yesterday, when it comes to the standoff and a potential trade of Deshaun Watson, we got some clarity there, and we can chalk another team, the Panthers, along with the Jets, because now they've bailed on Sam Darnold and the Zach Wilson thing appears to be 100% true.
Yeah.
You can cross two teams off the list when it comes to this Deshaun Watson situation.
I think you can cross three. And there's no way you can look at what happened yesterday with the Carolina Panthers making that trade and think that it did not affect the Deshaun Watson market and the Houston Texans by extension, obviously. Jets are out. Niners were considered a potential possibility there. They're out. The Panthers are out. How can you look at that and say, oh, yeah, the Texans are going to be able to trade Deshaun Watson and play the market and really, you know, juice what the return might be? They can still do that, but the number of suitors is clearly a lot less, and that's a direct hit on what potentially the Texans and Texans fans can expect in return.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app, formerly known as the radio.com app, new and improved. Don't be startled if you see it on your desktop. They automatically upgraded it, and it's going to be better than ever. So we're going to have John McClain at 1040. John McClain is going to give us the latest on the trade, what he believes is going on, what the latest is through his eyes. 12 o'clock, we're going to hear from Tony Busby, or Mr. Busby, as I started calling him after I listened to his last press conference. That's going to be interesting downtown. We're going to have some people on the scene out there. I'm sure Brandon Scott will be out there holding it down. So we're going to hear from him. We're going to hear from Andre Johnson very shortly. Andre Johnson had some interesting things to say,
to say the least,
about the Texans organization. And let's hear from Cal McNair right now, because there was a statement from Cal McNair yesterday. Now, I will say this, that The chairman letters do come each year to Houston Texans season ticket holders. But this one was accompanied with acknowledgments of the Deshaun Watson situation that we've all talked about. For the most part, this has been avoided. But this is the most direct address of the Deshaun Watson situation that we've gotten from the owner of the Houston Texans, at least. We heard from Caserio last week, but this is what Cal McNair said in a statement to season ticket holders, the chairman letter to all season ticket holders for the Texans.
Yeah, this was Cal McNair. We want to take this opportunity to address the complaint filed with the Houston Police Department and the allegations made in the civil lawsuits against Deshaun Watson. We want to assure you that we take these allegations very seriously. As reported, HPD and the National Football League are conducting investigations, and we will cooperate fully. We respect the legal process and will continue to monitor the situation closely. While we await the conclusion of these investigations, we express our strong stance against any form of sexual assault. Our family and the entire Houston Texans organization are deeply troubled by any form of abuse, and we condemn this type of behavior. We will continue to commit resources to help prevent abusive behaviors from occurring in our community and ensure respect for all. Over the past 10 years, the Houston Texans Foundation, the McNair Foundation, and the McNair family have donated more than $10 million to organizations whose focus centers on strengthening families, preventing abuse, and providing much-needed services to those who have fallen victim to domestic violence and sexual abuse. This is deeply personal to our family and remains our priority. What is your initial reaction when you read that?
My initial reaction when I read that was, I believe that the Houston Texans are done with Deshaun Watson. I think this is the first 100% clear, transparent thought that has come out from Cal McNair. That was my initial reaction. I know chairman letters do come out. I know that a lot of stuff is addressed in those, but when I read that, I immediately thought the Houston Texans are done with Deshaun Watson. It's not just Deshaun Watson's done with the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans are done with Deshaun Watson as well. That's what I thought.
I totally agree. And the reason it is important is he names Deshaun Watson by name, talks about how committed they are, to foundations and organizations that prevent abuse in any form. And he used the exact same term that Nick Caserio used. That's what jumped out at me, Landry. The Houston Texans organization are deeply troubled. That's the exact same term that Caserio used. What they're doing here, people, is they're laying the groundwork. They're prepping the table, if you will, for a Deshaun Watson trade. And that's not any small thing at all.
Let me just make something clear. And I think it is fair to make this clear. Everything Mr. McNair said in that statement is fine. I support everything he says. Like that's great. But I want to make something very clear. This organization was deeply troubled before these allegations came out. This was the most troubled organization in the entire NFL before this came out.
Mm-hmm.
So don't allow what's happened in the last 3 weeks to take away from the fact that this organization, since 2019, April of 2019, has been the worst organization in football and maybe in all of sports when it comes to an operations standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just make that very clear. What you've seen and what you saw from April of 2019 to December of 2020 was maybe the worst 2-year stretch of running an organization that you will ever see,
mm-hmm.
that you will ever see. So that's great. That's good. That's good that you're taking this stance. But even before this happened, Deshaun Watson wanted out of here.
Yeah.
And you were having to rebuild 2 years after having a solid core of players and having the Super Bowl champs up 24-0. Let's mm-hmm. just make that very, very clear. And if you don't want to take my word for it, let's hear from Andre Johnson. on the I'm Athlete podcast with Brandon Marshall and Ocho Cinco, mm-hmm. just reminding you that it's great that Mr. McNair said this. That's awesome. That's a great stance to take. But let's not let the Texans off the hook, because before this happened, this organization was deeply troubled in other ways.
Me being there and being inside the organization, people ask me why I left. I always said I wanted to spend more time with my daughter and stuff like that. But I left because I knew the organization wasn't right.
I mean, they were deeply troubled. This is obviously a different topic that they're, quote, deeply troubled about. The reason that resonated with me is it was, well, one was kind of funny. It reminded me of a movie. But, you know, this is not done casually. This was an official statement released to season ticket holders. Nick Caserio knew exactly what he was saying when he said deeply troubled. It reminded me of, you've seen Apollo 13? When they ask the wives, you know, about the mission, they all say the same thing. We're happy, thrilled, whatever it was else they said. They know the term to use here. We're deeply troubled. And that's going to resonate on and on and on again. They're laying the groundwork for, at least publicly, they've already done it otherwise, for Deshaun Watson to get traded.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. But let's just remember that even before this, Deshaun Watson was on his way out.
Sure.
So let's just make that very, very clear. That's great, and that's good. That's a good stance to take. But even before this, let's not forget,
mm-hmm.
we can talk about a new era. We can talk about a rebuild. But let's not make Deshaun Watson the face of why this organization is having to rebuild. That foundation was laid out from April of 2019 when Jack and Bill became a package deal, to 2020 when J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson yeah. walked off the field and J.J. told him that they'd wasted a year. Just mm-hmm. to make it clear,
mm-hmm.
just to be fair, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. We'll get more into Carolina bailing on Deshaun Watson, what exactly that means, why exactly that happened. And if you think that we're the only city talking about Deshaun Watson, we'll take a trip to New York. And we'll take a trip to Carolina, and I can assure you that all of the connections, all of the moves that are being made, everybody's head is in the same place around the country. Late night loss last night for the Astros, the first time that they will have they blew a game, first loss in 2021. They had the two-run lead going into the eighth. Joe Smith loads the bases, and then the Angels score four runs. Kyle Tucker with the solo shot in the ninth, but
trash cans everywhere.
Nothing to see there. The Astros lose. But the good news is 3 o'clock today. You don't have to wait very long for them to try to get back in that that win column, little grinky ball at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was nice to stay up and watch a loss. I mean, I know you would rather watch a win, but I'm blessed and I'm just happy that I had something to stay up late and watch.
Hey, man. It's a Monday night in April, and we're watching championship basketball and Astros baseball. You can't get a lot better than that.
That was a scrimmage. Baylor. Shout out to Baylor.
Man, those guards.
Total assing.
Whew.
Total assing.
I would also like to give a shout out.
I'm sure we'll hear from him.
I'm sure John McClain's going to have plenty to say about that at 10:40. But, yeah, Baylor. Total assing of Gonzaga. And the Baylor Bears are the champs. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. I've believed all offseason that Carolina would be the most aggressive team when it came to trying to acquire Deshaun Watson, no matter what. Even in the last few weeks, I thought they would be the most aggressive. However, yesterday, they bailed. Why exactly? We'll try to get to the bottom of it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Sports Radio 610 teaming up with the Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center all this week. When you donate during Sports Radio 610's blood drive, you'll get a T-shirt from the Blood Center showing their thanks for you being an MVP. We are rotating locations throughout the week all over Houston. We will be there for you. To look at locations and schedule an appointment, go to sportsradio610.com. And thank you for saving lives and teaming up with us and the Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center.
You know, this is the time of year where there's lots of rumors and speculation, and not all of it's true. I'm out in the community. People say things to me, ask me questions. I heard this team called you. I heard not all of it's true. Some of it about it can be true, but a lot of sometimes it's not true. So Teddy's a tremendous professional. Teddy's a tremendous person. As far as where he stands with us, I mean, he's our quarterback. We're going to continue to try to improve the roster at every position, and that's at every position.
And a couple weeks later, Teddy Bridgewater looks like he's on the way out in Carolina. Carolina trades for Sam Darnold, a second, a fourth next year, and a sixth in this year's draft. And looks like they're going to roll the dice on Sam Darnold, and they are officially bailing from the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Deshaun Watson, we wonder if he's going to be traded in the next few weeks. Maybe so. But Carolina, you can mark them off the list along with the Jets following that trade. It's officially official. San Francisco, as you mentioned, also off the list. So the list is getting shorter and shorter. We thought this would be one of the biggest aggressors, but yesterday, to the surprise of many, they bailed.
And the Panthers apparently reaching out to Teddy Bridgewater and allowing him to explore trade options, which I found to be an interesting concept. You know, apparently they're going to help him get the trade that he wants to find the best situation for him because he's not going to fit in Carolina. Interesting.
Very interesting. And here was Ian Rapoport of NFL Network the second it happened. And if you think that Deshaun Watson is just a popular talking point here and the standoff is a thing, this is minutes after the trade happened. And this is how an NFL reporter, this is what he took away from Sam Darnold going to Carolina.
They have seen enough in their quarterback evaluations to feel comfortable in knowing what they're going to get at the number two overall pick. Everyone believes it's going to be Zach Wilson. The other part of this, the Panthers were big into the Deshaun Watson situation. Certainly seems that as of right now, they have pivoted off of Watson and moved on to Sam Darnold.
So there you go. And that's Ian Rapoport right there immediately mentioning the Deshaun Watson situation when this news happens. I'm surprised that Carolina bailed the way they did. But that's just the decision that they made. My question is, why exactly did Carolina decide now to bail? Did Matt Rhule have a meeting or something and say, all right, we can tolerate 21 lawsuits, but as soon as it gets up to 22, that's enough. We got a bail. Was the fact that someone went to the police, was that the non-starter for the Carolina Panthers? Something had to have happened. Maybe they've been trying to get Sam Darnold this whole time, but we believed, and many believed, and the people closest to that organization that we talked to, whether it was Joe Person, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet, the guys who cover the squad, we believed that Carolina would be in on Deshaun Watson. So my question is, what exactly happened from then to now to where they decided they needed to bail? Was the Sam Darnold sweepstakes such to where they had to get in? Because there was a report that Denver was interested in Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
So maybe they just realized that, you know, option B could go away. I have no idea, but I did expect Carolina to be in the mix very much so in the next few weeks when it came to Deshaun Watson, but they've bailed. They're out.
I did too. The head coach said as much, not mentioning Deshaun by name, but certainly indicating how interested they were in a franchise quarterback. I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. I think this is a true gray area. I think if before yesterday, you know, the Nick Caserio had maybe engaged a little more actively with the Carolina Panthers, I'm not so sure they would have bailed. But there's also the factor of what you just mentioned. There's a police investigation. The number is now 22. In terms of civil cases that are pending against Deshaun Watson. The repercussions in terms of public relations and stature in the community. You just heard Cal McNair talking about how committed they are to organizations that support and are anti-abuse, obviously, support victims, I should say. All these factors, I think, weigh in. I think this is a real gray area here. Each organization is doing things differently and approaching this differently. The Panthers ultimately landed on not worth it. Let's go get Darnold and let's move on.
And meanwhile, in New York, we just heard Ian Rapoport connect this to Deshaun Watson. In New York, it appears they're going to have their new quarterback, Zach Wilson, with the number two overall pick. Here's what they were saying in New York, our favorite show out there, Carton and Roberts, Craig Carton in Evan Roberts, immediate, and this is immediate, this is right when it came down, this is where their mind was when this trade went down with Sam Darnold being shipped out of New York to Carolina.
So a second, a fourth, and a sixth for Sam Darnold.
There is some sadness to this.
I'm not sad about this one little bit.
No, no, no. You should be because when you draft Sam Darnold at three with all that promise, the hope is he is your franchise quarterback. And we've gone through this song and dance for decades. So let me get the sadness out of the way. Okay? It's done. I let my sadness out. You can't complain about the return. Everyone who says he stinks, he's terrible, you've said it, you can't sneeze at the return they just got, a second and a fourth for Sam Darnold.
It also tells you Carolina's officially out of the Deshaun Watson acquisition.
There it is. Yeah. I mean, it's a national story, the Deshaun Watson situation. And you have Carolina out, you have the Jets out, San Francisco is out, which brings me to the obvious question. Who the hell is in?
Yeah.
Who is in this Deshaun Watson situation? If you ask me to list teams to look out for, and Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle mentioned two of these teams by name, I think you got to keep an eye on the Miami Dolphins, as we've been saying all year. You got to keep an eye on Miami. I think you got to keep an eye on the Philadelphia Eagles now. Keep an eye on Philly, because Philly did add, you know, a draft pick with Miami, and they still have that high first round pick. I think you got to look at Denver. I think Denver is a team that you have to look at very, very closely. And I wouldn't sleep on Chicago and Las Vegas when it comes to potential suitors. Patriots have been thrown out there. Let me just say this. If Deshaun Watson gets traded to the Patriots, this city is going to erupt.
Nuts.
And the NFL is going to erupt if that happens. But that's my list. Miami, Denver, Chicago, Philly, Las Vegas. Those are the teams that I think you got to keep an eye on. And those are the teams I think you got to keep an eye on within the next 3 weeks. I could see the trade still happening. Those are the teams that you need to look at.
There's another aspect to this that we haven't mentioned, why these moves are being made and they're being made now. It's entirely possible that they're hearing even more information than you and I are. That it's the Dolphins. You know, they may have, I mean, they've been talking with, clearly they've been talking with Nick Caserio, even though Caserio says they're not, or reports are that he's not really fully engaged in these discussions yet. I think the report yesterday that he's like listening. Okay, whatever. I mean, you know, what does that mean? So maybe the NFL knows what you and I have been kind of hearing here and there. We can't beat the Dolphins deal. We can't. We've tried. Well, you know, they did their best effort. We can't top what Miami is offering the Texans. Maybe that's a factor in here too.
Now I've heard Sean throw this out there at Payne and Pendergast 6 to 10 a.m. Our guy Sean Pendergast, and he makes a good point. You know, as soon as Miami traded back and then traded up to number 6, why would they do that if they were trying to trade for Deshaun Watson? Maybe they wanted to get more first round picks. If that was their desire. They do still have multiple first-round picks in the coming years. And maybe Nick Caserio is making those trades.
That's
maybe,
what I've been saying.
Maybe Nick Caserio is the guy that's saying, all right, trade back here, then trade up here. Because that number 6 overall pick, I know we look at this draft and we say, you know, you want the 3, you want whatever. The 6th overall pick in this draft is prime real estate because it looks like there's going to be 4, maybe 5 quarterbacks off the board. And you basically have your pick of any non-quarterback. So maybe Nick Caserio, in his discussions with the Dolphins, which he has had them because they have made a trade, maybe Nick Caserio is the one making those trades. I just don't – I'm not ready to dismiss Miami. I'm just not – I'm not there yet.
I think this even further makes Miami the obvious, at least for now, choice or favorite or whatever. And why would they move back to number 6? I think it's very simple, especially if you're going to get Tua back. If you're getting Tua back, you already have Tyrod Taylor. Maybe you're going to, you know, try to develop Tua, whatever it is, and add more picks. You know what I mean? Like, so let's say you had the 3rd overall, okay?
Yeah,
you traded. Maybe you somehow manipulate the draft, which they did, and you go back to 6, and you add another 2nd or 3rd rounder to the Texans. I would take that. I'd take a 6th and an extra, the 6th overall, and an extra 2nd or 3rd rounder over the 3rd and one less 2nd or 3rd rounder.
You also got to look at it as the Miami Dolphins, yes, they traded with San Francisco and they got 2 firsts in the 3rd. and then they traded back up to number six. But in the big scheme of things, they really just traded back three spots.
Right. And added picks.
And added a first-round pick.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can eliminate the Miami Dolphins by a long shot.
I would further double down on my prediction, to be honest.
I think it's more appealing for the Texans to get that number six overall and one less first-rounder than the number 12 overall, because number 12 is going to be no man's land.
Yeah.
That's where all the good players are going to go. All the quarterbacks are going to be gone. I think that number six overall pick is more appealing than maybe an extra first, especially in this draft, especially with some of the names that are going to be out there. Like, you're sitting on a gold mine. So I'm not eliminating the Miami Dolphins, but you can, we agree, eliminate the Carolina Panthers.
I agree on that. Eliminate them, eliminate the Niners, eliminate the Jets. And that's
really it.
All of this might be, okay, well, now the Texans, their hands are a little more tied in terms of a deal, or it could mean, look, the league, the agents and the general managers and the personnel people, they know all these things, obviously, well before any of us. Maybe they know we can't top the Dolphins' offer.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Tony Busby speaking in 90 minutes live downtown. You don't want to miss this. Tony Busby going to give us the latest on Deshaun Watson, or Mr. Busby, as I call him, when he puts the lawyer hat on. Let's talk to John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions, his weekly visit. There's a lot going on. We're about an hour away from the Busby pressure. The Deshaun Watson situation is full circle right now. Let's talk to John McClain next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Carolina has bailed in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Will other teams bail after Tony Busby speaks live right here on Sports Radio 610 in about an hour and 24 minutes? To quote Tupac, only time will tell. Joining us now, John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions. I just quoted Tupac and Master P, by the way. John McClain, how you doing? Give us the latest on Deshaun Watson and your thoughts to the things that Cal McNair had to say yesterday.
I think Cal McNair said what needed to be said from the organization in the missive he sent out to season ticket holders. It's the first time anybody had commented, and so I thought that was good. As far as that trade, you know, I've been saying now for weeks that I don't think Deshaun Watson will be traded before the draft because of everything he's got going on with legal situations. So I think that's going to be a moot point as more teams make moves to either get veterans or to draft five quarterbacks in the first round.
Well, what does it do in terms of the market whenever they trade him? Before the draft, after the draft, or whatever? It seems as if the Jets are out, the Niners are out, now the Panthers are out. It would seem like we're shifting here to where the Texans might be a little bit more eager to move him.
I think the Texans were going to move him after, for weeks now, they had a plan to trade him before the draft. And I think now, unless a team pops up, those teams that showed interest, there were six of them that showed serious interest, unless one turns around and says, okay, we're still interested, which I don't believe, then I don't think he's going to be traded before the draft. I think then, at the earliest, it would be only in case of, say, in preseason, if a team lost its quarterback with a season-ending injury, and then it might go up to the trading deadline in late October, and then it would go before next year's draft.
What are you anticipating from Tony Busby? How much are you going to be locked in on what Tony Busby has to say at noon right here?
Well, I'm not covering the Watson story. We have Cityside reporters doing that. I've written four columns about it. But I'm eager, just like everybody else, to see what Busby's got in store. He represents 22 women who all tell a similar tale about Deshaun Watson, and they deserve to be heard. Their cases deserve to be heard, as I've said, and I know you guys know this. Nobody knows what happened except Watson and his accusers when they were behind closed doors. So Busby knows how to use social media and how to get things in the media to present his side. So I'm eager to see what he's got in store.
How are you just not
wanting to cover the court side? Why would John McClain not be covering the Watson thing?
Because we have city side reporters that cover legal things.
Screw them. We need John McClain on the scene.
Okay. John, I want to get back to the McNair.
When are you guys going to ask me about the most important story in the country?
All right. I was gonna give you the stage.
I've been preparing for this since last night.
Nope. You've been preparing for this, according to your tweet, for 59 years. How many years?
That's a good point. Yeah, since 1960.
All right. So I was gonna give you the stage. It's a long segment. I was just gonna set it up. We'll do it right now. John McClain, and I am dead serious. I've said this about my Aggies. Just once before I die, and I want football. I don't. I love basketball, but I want a football championship. Just once before I die. Are you feeling much the same way in that kind of relief?
Well, I am about the basketball. I'm with you about football because football is the primary sport in our state. You got a lot better chance of winning a national championship.
This year,
baby. Based on where the Aggies are compared to Baylor. But as someone who's been watching Baylor since I was a Cub Scout in 1960, going to so many games, thinking the program was going to be abolished after all the controversy they had with Carlton Dodson killing Brian Dennehy and going to prison. And I thought they would just fold the program. And then to see Scott Drew win this and his players, it's very exciting. Only the second in Texas history, Texas Western in 1966, and that's only Baylor's second men's national championship to tennis. And I'm very excited about that game, especially I was stunned at the decisiveness of it and all the others. And as I said last week, if Baylor didn't win it, I was hoping the Cougars would, and I don't think we've seen the last of them in the NCAA tournament. But thank you guys for giving me a chance
One more thing. How did you watch it? How did you celebrate? Be honest.
I sat in front of my TV at home with my good friend Lester Zed, longtime Chronicle editor, and also grew up in Waco. And we sit there watching all their games. And he was decked out in every Baylor thing I could think of. I was not. And because Carol had to leave for the airport at 4 a.m., we could not jump and scream and hoot and holler and celebrate because she went to bed about 8:30.
Are you kidding me?
We just did a lot of silent cheering and jumping up and down, but we were quiet.
John, you've waited half a century for this. Carol can function and sleep on the plane. You've got to be screaming if your team wins the national championship.
Well, I didn't scream. I celebrated, but I didn't scream. But it was, as you can imagine, very exciting. I had my buddy Steve Fronterhouse, so you guys know over to Houstonian, the GM. He asked me if I wanted him to set me up a place over there to come watch with big screens because he knows I don't have a big flat screen TV. And I thank Steve. It was very generous, but I like watching it right at home, pulled my chair right in front of the TV so I could see it. But when it was over, I walked outside and whispered a yes.
Hey, John. So yesterday I was watching the game with some buddies eating some pizza. Your lack of a big screen, flat screen was probably a talking point for probably 50% of our dialogue. people feel really bad for you there. People feel really bad that the general doesn't have that big flat screen.
They don't feel nearly as bad as I do.
Beer or champagne?
Beer.
Yeah.
Coors Light.
Not a baby. Silver Bullet. Them mountains are blue. Well, congratulations from the bottom.
Clint Sterner would go crazy if I drank any kind of beer other than Coors Light. And Clint did a great Sic'em Bears on the air Friday because we had a bet. I would have done a pig suey. Thank God I didn't have to do a pig suey at Arkansas One. But Clint did a really good job. And when I was telling him how to do it, I might have added a little bit for him. But he did it. He took it in stride, did a great job. Thank you guys for the congratulations. As you can imagine, it is incredibly exciting for all Baylor fans, especially those of us who've suffered for so many decades.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. About an hour and 15 till Tony Busby addresses the media live. Deshaun Watson standoff still going on. So if Deshaun Watson doesn't get traded, speaking of suffering, if Deshaun Watson doesn't get traded before the draft, how long does the Texans front office and Watson, how long do they have to suffer through this before there is a parting of ways, do you think?
I think that going back to them, his agent, David Mulligetta, telling them he wouldn't report. He's willing to risk millions in fines and lost income, which I think it's been calculated if you miss preseason and all of camp with the fines per day, it would be like $3 million for preseason. Players this year get paid over 36 weeks instead of 17, which has been the case. So he would lose a lot of money that way. So I don't think that he's just changed his mind all of a sudden saying to himself, oops, I want to go back and play for the Texans. So I fully expect him to hold out. If this is still an issue, I think Deshaun, what's best for him would be when the season starts and they begin to get paid, for Roger Goodell to put him on the commissioner's exempt list while the investigations continue, and he would still get paid that way. If he just holds out, he's going to lose a fortune.
Doesn't a holdout, if it does come to that and Deshaun decides to hold out, doesn't that just make him look worse than he already looks? And I'm not saying it's fair, because I think the Texans organization earned the situation they were in before these sexual allegations came out. But, I mean, the perception of Deshaun Watson right now, I think it's safe to say that, you know, since the initial allegation came out, it's at least changed. If you add a holdout to that reputation, couldn't that be costly for his reputation and what he's thought about across the league?
It wouldn't be surprising. It would be consistent with what he said the Texans were told that he would do, because he didn't want to play here. And I would imagine, because of everything that's happened, he would want to be anywhere else playing anyway. And the key is, when would they trade him and what would they get? Because, you know, teams would come in. I'm not talking about before the draft. I'm talking about after everything is cleared up, which could be, you know, a year. But whatever they get for him is not going to be nearly what they were expecting to get for him before the lawsuits, when they thought they would have six teams competing to try to get him.
How does a criminal investigation, and then noting that it is just an investigation or whatever, how does that affect the NFL's potential suspension or exempt list?
Well, they may not even file charges. So
that's
something we have to wait to see. The NFL's investigation right now, they've suspended players when there were no charges filed. They've suspended players when there were, and they don't have to wait until until it gets settled in court. And thing about Watson, everybody I talk to believes under the personal conduct policy, he will be suspended. It's just a matter of how much. Then he would appeal like others have and try to get the suspension reduced. But under the personal conduct policy, if you read it, you know, it's pretty clear. You can be suspended for a lot of things, and this certainly falls under it. And you don't have to be proven guilty. They have multiple investigators who work on cases. And so, you know, because of the scope of this investigation with 22 sexual assault lawsuits and one that's a criminal complaint, that the league is going to make it a priority.
John McClain with us here on Sports Radio 610, about an hour and 10 minutes away from Tony Busby's press conference. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with the General every Tuesday, courtesy of Horn Solutions. Where does Jack Easterby sit in all this? Because Jack Easterby, before this Deshaun Watson thing, I don't think you could really mention the name Jack Easterby without just the text line blowing up. There was the Fire Easterby hashtag. Where does Jack Easterby fit in this Deshaun Watson situation? Like, is he kind of feels like he's a little bit off the hook. You're not getting as much talk about Jack Easterby. It's now more about Deshaun Watson.
Well, I think it's the time of year. You got free agency, you got the draft coming up. Nick Caserio's in charge of all personnel. I think people finally believe that. Easterby's involved in everything. He oversees a lot of departments. And as the executive vice president of football operations and a close friend of Nick Caserio, he's just like Matt Bazergan and the personnel people, James Lipford, Rob Kissel. He makes suggestions about players, and then Caserio makes the final decision. So he's involved in everything just like he was before. The only thing he's not doing now that he did during the season is when he was interim GM working with Coach Romeo Crennel, but now he's not. But he's still over there involved in just about everything.
Is there at least a chance, and I mean, I'm even saying if it's just a 1% chance, do you think the chance of Deshaun Watson playing for the Texans again has at least kind of increased with all this in a strange way? Because teams are not – you don't believe there's going to be a trade. What if he's not suspended? Is he just going to sit out the whole season? Do you think the chances of him being a Houston Texan have at least increased a little bit, even if it's not a huge percentage?
I said I don't believe he'll be traded before the draft. Not that he wouldn't be traded. And the draft, the first day is April 29th. The plan had been to pull the trigger right before the draft when they were determined. They had determined what the best offer they were going to get. And then people, remember, he's still got a no-trade clause. But one of the things I would have done before this, if I were Nick Caserio, and say he wanted to trade him to Denver and he didn't want to go to Denver, and I'd say, look, you can go to Denver and you can make $10.5 million this year. You can make $35 million next year, or you can sit out and lose $20 million. And I believe that he would have accepted it. And he has not given them, like, specific teams. He just has the right to veto a trade if it was to a team where he didn't want to go. And I think right now, as far as him coming back, he said he would hold out before. Why would he not hold out now? And he was willing to lose a lot of money before, so I'm guessing he'd be willing to lose a lot of money now. If he came back, say when they start getting paid at the beginning of regular season, if he comes back, he's going to be the starting quarterback. Then he runs the risk of getting hurt before they could trade him before the deadline. I just don't see him coming back anytime soon. But is there a chance? Of course. There's so many moving parts on this situation and so many things happening on almost a weekly basis. I think anything's possible, including him coming back.
What about a team, because the market clearly is not going to be what it was before all this happened. What about a team what about a team like Philadelphia or Las Vegas all of a sudden getting into the mix?
If the price goes way down, I think a lot of teams would get into the mix. Now, that John Gruden and Mike Mayock and everybody associated with the Raiders say they're happy with Derek Carr. Derek Carr played pretty well last season. He wasn't responsible for their collapse. And Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts, they have said there's going to be competition, but they traded Carson Wentz so they could promote Jalen Hurts. But the fact is, how many quarterbacks out there would you keep this season over Deshaun Watson? Not many. Mm-hmm. And then the question becomes, what would you be willing to give for Watson if you were going to give up your starting quarterback, whether it was Derek Carr or Jalen Hurts? And so there's teams that if the price would fall, I'm sure there's teams out there that have not shown interest at this point and that would be interested. You'd be foolish not to show interest in Watson because you guys know at some point this will be behind him. His reputation will never be the same. And he'll come back. Boy, he'll want to play hard and play great. He is a great quarterback. But, you know, he'll have a laser-like focus, I would imagine, based on everything he's gone through off the field.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
NFL Hall of
Famer. Only because you said 1%.
There we go. John McClain with us. That's still a chance here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up, Andre Johnson has some things to say about the Texans organization and Jack Easterby. We'll hear him, and John McClain will react next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.